Right. So I'm going to get, I'm going to study special coordinate systems on this Dirac moduli space that are going to come to me from 4D n equals 2 theories. And I'm going to study this Lagrangian of Oppers that Lotta briefly mentioned yesterday. Actually, not briefly, she mentioned them. And so the idea is that I want to sort of translate between a purely geometric problem and a physical problem of computing low energy twisted effective superpotentials. So this is like a physics problem that sort of has to do with integrals over instanton moduli and things like this, whereas this is a geometric problem that has purely to do with holomorphic symplectic geometry. So I'll do three sections. I'll talk about physics, and I'll talk about spectral networks. And then I'll talk about Oppers. Okay, so the setting is class S theories. So probably you've heard this going around. So these are certain 4D n equals 2 supersymmetric QFTs. Therefore, I can't tell you an exact definition. But the idea is that you start with the 60, 2, 0 theory with Lie algebra G. Pick some Riemann surface. And then take your spacetime to be some four manifold, actually R4, cross C. And step three is to place some defects, if you like, which we will like, place some defects at points on C. So basically, pick some points on C, and these physical defects are something that's going to take up the entire four-dimensional M4, and then they're localized just at points on the surface. So all this will mean for us, this is not a general definition, but for us it just means pick some points, and then I've got conjugacy classes, semi-simple conjugacy classes. In G. Right. So once I've done this, then I have a 60 theory, and then I do something called partial topological twist, and I end up with a 40. And then go down to four dimensions, compactifying, and then I've got a 4D n equals 2 theory. So that's something that I call a theory of class S, and I'll denote this kind of thing by T of G, C, D, where G is Lie algebra, C is the surface, and D is some defect data. In our case, just a divisor with a conjugacy class. Right. So I like these kinds of theories. Why? Well, at least one reason that might be nice for mathematicians is that everything that's sort of all the physically defined things that people talk about end up becoming very concrete geometric structures in terms of the Hitchin moduli space. So let's say for us, we'll say the group is going to be SLK. There's a slight subtlety with the Lie algebra and the Lie group, but just ignore that. Right, so for example, the Seiberg-Witten integrable system, which is supposed to be every 4D n equals 2 theory should have such a thing associated to it. and this will map to something. This just maps to, well, to this, to the whole integrable system, Hitchens integrable system. Seiberg-Witten curve, for example, becomes the spectral curve, which is a basically a very standard construction that comes from this this whole thing. And importantly for us, the Coulomb branch will end up being, so this is like the vacua. Coulomb branch of the vacua is becomes the Hitchin base. So that's it's going to be a direct sum from 2 to k of, oh, I should mention, I'm always taking, I'm just going to study the SLK case. Right, so this is going to be some differentials on the surface, the Riemann surface, and they're going to have some singularities at the divisor. So lowercase d just means the divisor, or sorry, non-curly d means the divisor. Curly d means some extra data. And et cetera. So there's lots of other mappings between the geometry and the physics. And the idea is that we like these theories, or I like these theories, because then I can think in terms of sort of known geometry. Okay, so now, so something, a related setup is you can subject the 4D theory to the omega deformation, which is very vaguely, it's so this thing has some U1 cross U1 isometry. This is some two-parameter deformation of the theory. I can't explain in detail right now, but and in our case, we're just going to have one. We're only going to turn on one of the two parameters. So we're going to take M4 to be the cigar, and we're going to have our omega deformation will be rotation around the axis of the cigar. And then what you can do then is reduce this theory to 2D and pass the low energy. And what you get is a 2D sigma model. So it's a 2D theory now. And therefore, the effect of the low energy behavior is completely determined by this twisted effective superpotential, very analogous to the way that the prepotential in 4D, Seiberg-Witten's prepotential, determines the low energy for a 4D theory, where here this A is the on the coordinates on the Coulomb branch. This is my conjugacy classes that I mentioned, and this is the parameter epsilon. Right. Now, there's an argument by Nekrasov, Rosli, and Shatashvili, which is related to, so very roughly speaking, it makes a certain conjecture based on the idea that there are boundary conditions at the two tips of the cigar, sorry, the tip, the infinity and the tip of the cigar, and the contribution should be essentially just from the tip. And this boundary condition can be identified with something, the brain of Oppers, which I'll define later. But it's some Lagrangian submanifold of this, of M. Durham, a holomorphic Lagrangian. And the claim is that there exists some holomorphic Darboux coordinate system. So, say Poisson bracket equals one, some however many I's there are. So this is going to be a local chart on M de Rham, and C will be so here I'll denote this is the conjugacy classes of the monodromy representation. So I'm fixing what the monodromies around the punctures will be in this for the flat connections. The reason I do this is because that makes this a symplectic manifold rather than a Poisson. So everything should make sense, what I'm saying. And the claim is that, okay, I don't have, okay, the claim is that the twisted effective superpotential let's say with epsilon set to 1, just for convenience, that this is equal to the, can you guys see down here? Is this too far down?
Should write on the wall.
Sorry? Okay, let's,
Sorry, what does index C mean?
Sorry? Click.
You covered that part.
Okay, I don't.
You gotta go more now.
What does index C on M de Rham mean?
So this is the conjugacy. I'm fixing the conjugacy classes at the punctures. That's what I mean. Because otherwise it's just a Poisson manifold. Okay, so the claim is that this thing is equal to the generating function of Oppers. With these alpha coordinates identified with the A's on the Coulomb branch, and with the, how shall I say this? Yeah, so this is still a function of the M, and, right, and I've gotten rid of the epsilon because I just set it to 1. So the claim is that the effective twisted superpotential is equal to the generating function of Oppers, where, by generating function, I mean a standard thing that I can do in a symplectic manifold with a Lagrangian and a coordinate system. So whenever I have a coordinate system, a holomorphic Darboux coordinate system in a symplectic manifold, and I have a holomorphic Lagrangian, simple manipulation shows that you can locally in your coordinate system, so this Lagrangian can be expressed in your local coordinate system as the graph of the derivative of a single function. So what this means is, so I have some coordinate chart alpha I and beta I, and I have some Lagrangian sitting inside this thing. And so this is half-dimensional, so you can expect that there'd be, fixing the alpha coordinate, you've fixed the beta coordinate as well, and it turns out that that's the derivative of a function by Poincaré lemma or something like that. Okay, so why is this interesting? It's a little bit surprising, so it's interesting from the context already, I'd say, but it also provides an avenue to attack non-Lagrangian theories, where now I mean physics Lagrangian. So, e.g., this E6 theory, that Lotta mentioned yesterday. So that thing, so the point is that the left-hand side of this problem, sorry, the right, okay, this is a physics problem, and if you don't have a Lagrangian, you don't really know what to do, how to solve it or anything. But on the right-hand side, I've got something that, you know, all these things that I wrote down here, the curve, the SLK, the moduli space, the conjugacy class, everything makes sense regardless of whether the physical theory has a Lagrangian. So that means that I can still study this problem, and I can ask the same question to find a generating function, even when the theory is non-Lagrangian. So sort of some aspect of that was in Lotta's talk yesterday. But for me, it's just, I'm actually just going to study two specific Lagrangian theories, which are the one corresponding for SU2. It's the so-called NF equals 4 theory. And for SU3, it's the so-called NF equals 6 theory. So this means that the conjugacy class of these two, I'm saying, is generic, and then there's some condition to make this degenerate in some way that I won't be precise about. So the point is that Nekrasov, Rosling, and Shatashvili wrote down this coordinate system, and it turns out it's the complexified Finchel-Nielsen coordinates, which is some known object. They use this, and they found that it works. That it works in that case, but that's very special to k equals 2. It's a very special, Teichmuller space sitting in PSL 2R. That's where the original Finchel-Nielsen coordinates come from. And this is sort of, there's no sort of obvious generalization of how you would construct those coordinates. So that's where the spectral networks come in. And the Abelianization. This is stuff that came out of from Gyota Mornaitsky and their study of BPS states in class S. In the WKB approximation literature by Burke, Nevins, and Roberts, they observed this kind of thing, and there's also people, this exact WKB school of Japanese people, Aoki, Kawai, and Take. So they call it the Stokes graph, but they're basically the same object. So you can abstract the definition to be the one that Gyota Mornaitsky gave, which is sort of a topological combinatorial definition. But the way I'm going to do it to speed things up, I'm going to tell you what a WKB spectral network is, which is a specific method of generating them from all this holomorphic data that I've got lying around. What I want to do is, my assistant, Surya, will pass around some pictures so that you can look at them. The reason for that is that I don't want to spend so much time, so I thought a picture would say 1,000 words. What you can do is you pick a point in the Hitchin base. So this is some tuple of differentials, quadratic, cubic, however many. So when I say hitch of t, I mean Hitchin base associated to the data I gave you at the beginning. And pick some angle theta. A point in the Hitchin base determines a spectral curve, which is just given by the following equation. It's just the coefficients of the characteristic polynomial. What is it? Oh, sorry. Right, so this thing sits inside T star C, and it's a branched covering. So in all those pictures, there's some orange points, X's, which are the branch points of this covering, and I've drawn some branch cuts to trivialize it so I can draw them. I pick a point in the Hitchin base, and I have this thing, and then I can canonically produce using this data. I can canonically produce a spectral network via. Via the following process, okay, keep the conjecture there. So, call an open-oriented path call it an IJ trajectory. If it has the property that the integral of lambda I minus lambda j along the curve is in e to the I theta r plus, greater than or equal to zero. So this creates, in rank two, it's basically a foliation. It's the kind of picture that you saw in Alex's talk. So these are all IJ trajectories, where I and J is the sheets that this simple branch point has monodromy interchanging. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pick a subset of these. I pick the so-called critical ones. So I pick, I'll just say it in words for time's sake. So I pick all of the ones emanating from branch points. So I get something going outward that looks like that. Do that everywhere. Then if there's any intersections, which is not present in this picture, that's why, so that was a foliation, but this here they're not. If I have intersections, and if the labeling looks like the following, then I add this trajectory in. And then I iterate this process and take the union of all of those curves. And that forms the walls of the spectral network. And then there's some other discrete data, like the labelings. You can see in the pictures, there's like labelings of the sheets along each wall. So that's, I'll skim over that for time's sake. But the point is, what I can do with one of these things So people can do lots of things, but what I can do with them is I can study and compute the abelianization map, which says that the plan is basically you relate flat SLK bundles over C with GL1 bundles, so just line bundles, L prime over sigma prime, which is by definition sigma minus the ramification locus of its projection. So line bundles with rank one connection, sorry, line bundles with connection with rank k bundles with connection. The idea is that somehow we're simplifying the connections at the expense of complicating the surface. So then a W pair is a quintuple of things. So E nabler is a flat SL K bundle, and L prime nabla ab is a GL1 bundle over sigma prime. But there's also this iota, which is a bundle isomorphism. From E away from the networks to the push forward of this line bundle away from the networks, from the walls of the network. And it should satisfy some properties. So it takes pi to pi star abla ab, and so it jumps at a wall with label ij by an endomorphism that's just the identity plus some EW, which is where EW goes from LI to LJ. So this is referring to the sheet of the the point of the cover. Right, and then, so again, in words, the an abelianization, okay, given a flat rank K connection on C, an abelianization will be any completion, so the additional data of L prime, nabla ab, and I that forms a W pair, and vice versa, L prime, nabla ab, if you can complete it with an E nabla I forming a W pair, that's a W non-abelianization. How am I for time? Like, okay.
Start in a few seconds.
Okay, give me like a couple of minutes, I guess. So the idea is just that, so general properties are not necessarily known or proved, but the idea is that if you have some nabla and you have a W abelianization of it, then I use the holonomies of nabla ab, which is just some element of C star, where gamma is an element of H1 of sigma prime z. So I use these as coordinates. And they're nice, they're holomorphic, they're Darboux, and okay, then the idea is that you study these very degenerate ones that have double walls. Study abelianization on networks that look like this, that have only double walls, or the bottom right one on the picture. That's the one that one of the ones that I study. That's a rank 3 network. This is a rank 2 network. But you use these degenerate ones because use degenerate ones and use ones that are glued out of just pants. You take a pants decomposition, and the network should restrict to a network on each of these pants that you've got. So this produces some coordinate system for you, and you can compute, and we do compute a bunch of exactly what they are, and we propose that these are the right generalization of NRS's coordinates, and then calculating the monodromy of OPERs, which are basically they're a special type of flat connection. So you can compute the monodromy of some flat connection if you're clever, and so we compute them, and then you can compare sort of the abelianization formula for the monodromy formula that you've computed for the OPERs, and then just take the antiderivative, and you'll get this function. And so what we do is we do it perturbatively, so it's in powers of this Q, which is some parameter controlling the degeneration of the sphere. And asymptotically, as Q goes to zero, you can compute the terms of this W, and we find agreement to certain low orders. So I guess I can't go into any more detail than that, but yeah.
I had a question. So it seems like you picked some defects to cut out this Lagrangian of ochres in your construction.
What do you mean?
I mean, in passing from 4D down to 2D.
Oh.
You had some choice of defect.
My question is roughly, I would expect some kind of cluster type structure on the resulting coordinate systems that you're building. Do you have some kind of abstract geometric characterization for how to extract the 4D superpotential, like the Seibach-Wittenberg potential, from a given cluster structure? Or maybe something of all possible.
What do you mean by from a cluster structure?
So assuming someone gave you this coordinate chart, are you able to reconstruct the Seibach-Wittenberg prepotential? Or gave you many such coordinate charts?
I mean, I don't really know how this story would lift to 4D. Like, this is really, I mean, it depends on this argument about boundary conditions in 2D and identifying them as the obers. So I don't know exactly. I mean, it's a good question. I should try to think about that. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I just wanted to ask a question about the motivation for the original conjecture, which I know isn't like the main point of your talk, but maybe you can help me with it. So the obers that you're considering are defined over the curve that you reduced on from 60 to 40, is that correct?
Yeah.
And yeah. There's some kind of implicit assertion that there is some kind of like unique Lagrangian of obers for whatever monitor mediator you fixed and whatever. Fine, but
yeah, sure.
So then in terms of the like 2D theory, whose like low energy effective superpotential you're saying is equal to this generating functional, like what role do the obers play in that 2D theory? Is there like something simple?
They're boundary conditions. I mean, it's a Lagrangian in what is the, okay, it comes, so if you think of reducing it to from 4D to 3D, it becomes the low energy model is a sigma model into the Hitchin space. And so Lagrangians in that, I guess, are giving you boundary conditions. Sorry, or in M. de Rham. But yeah, it's a 2D sigma model. So from the tip of the cigar, from the cigar into the thing, and so boundary conditions will be Lagrangians at either end. Depending on the kind of boundary condition, I guess.
Just continue talking after.
Yes. Yeah, sure.